That's my basic idea, my basic thought really is this morning, is that as Christians, we have something to do. We have some work to do. And in this day and age everything that's going on and everything else, and the scriptures talk about this day being the last days and everything else. Joshua was told by God about Herod inheriting this land called Canaan. And it was quite a big amount of land and all that. And you know about the story about the spies that went out, and the 10 of them came back with an evil report or a doubtful report and everything. And there was only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, that came back with a positive report. They brought back a whole lot of things, grape, clusters of grapes and stuff like that. They had to carry it by two men and stuff. Anyway, other stuff was going on. So what happened is back then that they got an evil report, and because of that, they had to wander another 40 years. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, see where everybody's at right here. Huh? No. All right, they had to wander. Now the time came for them to be, Moses died. He never got to go into the promised land because of disobedience, but he also was able to see the Canaan's land. How he ever got to see it, maybe God opened up his vision where he could see it on the mountain, whatever. Then we know that God had went ahead and buried him. But anyway, in all this here, when Joshua got to the Jordan River again, and after Moses died, God spoke to him and said a few things that are interesting for us today. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that this the same words he said to Joshua are the same words that he's talking to you about, because we're talking about two completely different things in this time. This is talking about Canaan's land. This is talking about an inheritance, property and land and all that. Where in our day and age and all that, since this has all come to pass after Christ died upon the cross and salvation and all that, now we're looking for what we call Canaan's land.
Yeah.
Called heaven. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, that's what we're looking for today. But a lot of the things in both of these things that are on my mind kind of bring some things, thoughts to my mind. And I'd like to be able to get it out to you, and hopefully that I can do well enough that you would be able to understand where I'm coming from and all that. Because as Christians, we need to know some things that sometimes we completely ignore or neglect or don't know or forgot. And we need some of these things, especially in our day and age. How many recognizes the things that are happening all over the world today as coming in, it's conforming to Scripture.
Yeah.
How many realizes that?
Yeah.
Over in the Middle East and Russia and all this stuff like that, in the United States, and where we're most of, concerned about is the United States, where we live at the moment. But even though we're concerned with the United States and where we're at, don't quit looking at the East, because that's what's going to happen. That's where the things are going to start happening and everything else. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation and all that, and what do you find in there after the fourth chapter, the rapture's already taken place. God's people are out of here. And from the fourth chapter to the 21st chapter, you find out that that's talking to Israel. It's not talking to us. Well, us that are going to make it, put it that way. The ones that are going to, we're not involved in that. You do not hear nothing about the United States. You don't hear anything about countries or something like that, except where everybody's going to come against Israel in the last day. You know that, I hope. Mm. All right, so the United States is just one country, but we're having some things happening here that's happened in Israel, that has happened in those European countries, that has happened in the east and everything else. Now God is bringing his people, brought his people out of bondage. We're out of sin. We've been taken out of bondage by sin. You know, that he's brought them over into camp, to there. They messed up and all that, so they had to wait another 40 years. Everybody that was in that generation that murmured against Moses and all that, every one of them died.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about their children. These are the children of those first, outside the first 40. And now these children here, God's talking to them and telling them. Now the only two that are left out of the old folk and everything else is Joshua and Caleb and all that. Now you got to figure it out. Even after all the conquest and invasion of Canaan's land, Joshua was just as fit and fiddle as he was when he was 40 years old. He was over 80 when everything was done. All right, so a little bit. So the thing is here, he's telling Joshua and all that, and my servant, he says, my servant is dead now, talking about Moses. And as was talked about already, and I'd like to re-say that, first of all, is that Joshua, and the first name was Hosea, and not the Hosea that's in the scripture, but Hosea and everything else. And Moses changed his name to Joshua, actually said Yeshua, which is the same name as for Jesus in the Old Testament Greek, okay? Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, and I learned that one. I like to say it. But anyway, and he was talking to him and told him what was going on. And also that was stated was earlier was what, Joshua, even after Moses and Joshua were in the temple before he died and stuff like that, what happened was that Joshua stayed in the temple and all that, or stayed in the tabernacle. He stayed there, and of course the question is, why did he stay when Moses left? Well, they indicate and they say, because he wanted to stay within the presence of God, which could be very good, which it could be very true and everything else. Now, what I'm trying to say these days, I'm getting to the point, really, and all that. All this stuff is going on and all that. Now, God is talking to Joshua and telling him some things, all right? All right, told him where the lands are going to be and everything else. That's a big swath of land there, I'm going to tell you. All the way from the Mediterranean to the river Euphrates and everything else. Okay. But he says here, I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, if you want to go there. Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to go some of the Sunday school lessons here, but we're going to go on. All right. Joshua chapter 1. And first thing he says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Be strong in him. Be strong and of good courage. Be strengthened and have courage and believe in what God is telling them. All right. Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law. Right there. All of the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the right to the left. Don't add to the word. Don't take away from the word. And that also says that in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay, left. Thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Okay. Prosper in the way of God. Not prosper, give me money, like the prosperity doctrine the pastor spoke about this morning a little bit. No, it's being prospering in God, prospering in God's way, prospering in God's word and work and stuff like that. It's not to do with money. And then it says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You should meditate in it all day, during the day, and during the night. You should observe to do everything that's written, according to all that is written therein. All right, then you'll make your way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Prosperous in God, good success in God, and everything else. Now, all the things in the Bible is what I'm going to say it this way. Everything in the Bible will be on your side and not against you, as long as you're walking with God. As long as you're keeping the book of the law, which is the word of God to us, long as you're keeping that before your face and doing your best to follow that by the power and the Spirit of God that He has with you. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost will continue to lead you and will continue to guide you.
Amen.
And as long as you allow Him. Amen. The Holy Ghost will not come on you and force you to do anything. But He will come and He'll nudge you and urge you in the direction in which to go. He'll speak right to you, or He'll speak through somebody else to you to tell you what direction you should go and everything else. And what I'm trying to bring out today is this, is that we need to be strong and courageous in what we have today and all that. He had to be strong and courageous. Yes, he was called of God. God told him he's the next one after Moses and everything else. Yes, I understand that. But he told them to be courageous and all that. He tells his people to be courageous. Moses has told his people to be courageous. Follow the law. Don't be afraid to follow what God has told you, what God has written down, and what God wants you to know and to understand. All right? God declared this unto him. God declares that they will inherit every place they will invade. Now, I like the word invade. I told the pastor earlier, I like the word invade. It doesn't mean that you're going to tiptoe in. It doesn't mean you're going to go in secretly. It means you're going to go in.
Yeah.
Normandy, 1945, December 7th. No, that's the wrong date. But anyway, 1945, Normandy, what did they do? Tiptoe into Normandy?
Nope.
Or Omaha Beach or anybody? No, man, they went in and that was it. And did everything broke loose on them? Yeah, they sure did. They had everything going on. The same thing is going to happen with you and I when we go into this world and we're courageous enough to be able to speak the Word of God, bring the Word of God to somebody, and help the Word of God in somebody's heart and mind, soul and body and strength. Wherever they have an initiative and zeal to go, God will give it to them. God will give you what you need if you have the initiative and if you have the zeal to do what God wants you to do. Well, what's God going to do? Not everybody can be a pastor. All right? Let's get that straight. Not everybody can be a pastor. Not everybody can be called into the ministry of an evangelist or anything else. God's going to direct them into it and everything else. And if their life and their character, which is a lot of things that people aren't understanding today anymore, you got to have character. And your character will either lead you into more strength with God or deeper into God, or it'll keep you stationary or it'll take you backwards. What's your character right now? What kind of a character? What do you do when you're by yourself? What do you talk about when you're by yourself and just one person? What do you think about when you're by yourself? What do you think about when you're reading the Word of God or listening to the news? Where is your mind at? And everything else. You know, hey, the idea is you keep the Word of God before your face in every area. That just means everything. Mm-hmm. Is it easy to do? Yes, sometimes. No, sometimes. Most of the time, maybe. But it goes on. What are we going to do? All right. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." I believe God had showed me one thing one time about that scripture, and that was, you want the kingdom of God to expand down here, you got to use some violence.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a terrorist, but violence. You got to invade.
Right, 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 right.
Invade the devil's territory.
Right.
I don't mean you go in there and put on the show, but when you're in a situation where the time where it comes up, invade.
Amen.
Move on. Mm-hmm. Speak the Word of God. Don't be afraid, because God's not afraid.
Right.
You invade the enemy's territory. Mm-hmm. You let it happen. Yeah, that's all they can say about it. That's what you want. You gotta have that. So the kingdom of God suffered violence, yes, and the violent take it by force. We use force. Oh, we can't go in there. They might get upset with us. What are you, a little coward? No. You use force. I'm not, when I sit up there with my wife called my office at Country Fair and all that, and I read the Sunday school lessons and stuff like that, I talk to people and all like that, and if I get a chance, I use part of the word. I go ahead and I tell them about the word, what Jesus said. You know, I tell a lot of them up there, well, you know the way things are now, you know Jesus is coming. You get weird looks, but okay.
It's all right.
You keep on fighting.
Yeah.
You got to fight for these people. When they went into this land and they went into Canada's land, they weren't supposed to sit back in their lawn chairs and say, okay, God, bring your angels down and wipe them out. Nope. They had to get off their lawn chairs. They had to get the ammunition. They had to get their swords and they had to go fight.
Yeah, they did.
According to God's leading. Now, that's just it. I look at it today. We're supposed to fight for the kingdom of God. Does God need us? God don't need us for nothing, really. But God wants us to go ahead and to take the ground by force, okay? Sometimes we're so cramped inside our 2x4 living, we don't want to be able to go. We refuse to rise and go. That's the biggest problem. Because Christians don't, they don't want to get up and go. Get up and do something. Well, I can't go because I haven't been given permission. Well, who do you got to get permission from? Bible tells you to go.
Yeah, it does.
Does it mean to go be a preacher? No, but it says go.
Go.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
Oh, we can't do that. What happens if I go out and fail? If you go out and you fail, to fail is better than to try something and fail is better than to try to do nothing and succeed. You know, so what? Well, God doesn't honor that. Who are you to say God don't honor that? If you have a failure, if you tell me it doesn't take. Now, how many times was Jesus in the village or a town that didn't listen to him? Does that mean he failed? No. They're hard-hearted, stiff-necked. You'll find that today. So you go ahead and you go. You're just going out there. All right. They refuse to reach at or to reach after a press. They refuse to reach after or press toward a deeper life and victory. How many want a more life and victory? Nobody raises their hand in here, huh?
Yeah.
How many wants victory in their life?
Yeah.
With God.
Amen.
Then get busy. Get busy. Do what you can do. Don't, well, I got to wait for the pastor to tell me. No, you don't. If God leads him to tell you, he'll tell you. But there's some, well, I'd like to talk to so-and-so, but I better ask the pastor first. Get off that bridge. Get up and walk that bridge and go and talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Where you want something, if God wants you to speak to somebody, he opens up the doors. You may not even know this, but there comes a time that there's a bridge you got to cross, all right? And a lot of troubled water underneath it. Well, I can't talk to them people with all that trouble. Who says you can? Well, you know, was it not? Well, no, you're a coward if you just don't go over the bridge and do what God tells you to do. Am I being hard? Yeah, I'm being hard. Same thing goes for me. Everything I'm saying to you, I'm hearing first. All right? Get out and do something instead of complaining because they don't have nothing to do. How many have nothing to do? I'm retired. I can read. No. All right. We have things to do. We right. cannot refuse to rise and go just because somebody hasn't told us or anything else. Why be satisfied with so little when there's so much to enjoy in God? You get more enjoyment out of going out and doing something for God. And even if it fails, you've got the joy knowing I did something for God, did my best.
Amen.
And God will tell you about it later on. You got to do something.
Yeah.
You can't just sit. Now, how many like to sit? Every one of us like to sit. But the point is, we need to move. We need to go. God's not going to, Well, maybe God will call me to go talk to that person. He's already told you to go. What's the problem? Go. Talk to people. And everything else. Okay. They were told that they had to walk in the land before they could inherit, right? Okay. Let's put it this way. They had to walk in the land. They had to walk on it. And every step they took, they could claim it their own. This was the children of Israel. Today, when you look at it, people like to use that as, well, we can walk anywhere and it's ours. Not so. He didn't tell us to do that. He told the Israelites to do that. And he told them that's what will happen. What we've got to do today is we've got to get out. We've got to get out and start walking and start conquering some things and areas in our life that we have enough guts to go out and have courage to go out and do what we're supposed to do. Let me ask you this question. Before you got saved, before you come before God, was the kingdom of God yours? Was the kingdom of God yours? Not until you said, God, forgive me of my sins. You had to do something. You had to confess your sins. You had to come before God and ask him for forgiveness. Then the kingdom of God is yours. All right? And how are you going to keep it? Get up and keep moving. That's how you're going to keep it. You're not going to be able to sit back and say, oh, I got saved in 1949 and all that, and I'm okay today. You've been in church? Nope, not since 1949. No, that don't work that way, does it? Does not work that way. So, we have to spy out a deeper experience in the Holy Ghost. We have to dig for deeper treasure in God's Word. Stake out some new spiritual land and tread on it, right? What's it say again? I'm going to read it again. For deeper treasure in God's Word. How do you do that? You study. You read the Word. You meditate upon it. You think upon it. You wonder about it. You look for answers. That's what how will you do that. Stake out some new spiritual land. Figure out, well, I'm going to talk to this family member or that family member, and I'm going to staking out where you're going to go. That's exactly what Joshua and the Israelites had to do. To stake out, they knew which way they were going to go. The first place they stopped was Gilgal. But that was the closest, that's where they camped. That was their headquarters. That's where the main headquarter was when they went in after Jericho. Okay, but you have to go, right? Stake out some where I'm going. Brother still goes to the prison. By the grace of God, they'll let him out. But he still goes to the prison. He staked that out, okay. And all that. And he's doing good, aren't you? Okay, he's doing good. All right, so he goes ahead. What ground is staked out for you? Oh, you can't do nothing. You work at Subway. You can't do nothing. Those people won't listen to you. Oh, no, not if you don't know until you try. You don't know until, why are you so happy? What's a beautiful day? God has blessed me. Now I'm alive. Oh, we go on that way. All right. Then, when you know where you can go, what you can do is start walking it. Start doing it. Just start.
Yeah.
You take one, God will take two. You take two, God will take three. You take three, God will take six. Right on. That's the way I look at things. When you're really wanting to do work and really desire to go someplace with God. All right. You will not inherit it by sitting in your 2x4 cubicle and saying, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to the Cave Revival Center. And that's it. And you can't do that. You got to get outside. It's outside where it comes. And then you complain about how miserable and unrestoring the church is. You've not done anything to help yourself. You got to do something to help yourself to make it interesting. How many of you people like honey? How many of you people like to take a little snack with you? Some little, some little, some little. Right? Take a little snack. And then when you're done and you're resting, what do? You sit down and maybe light a little fire and sit there, maybe underneath the hemlock before the water falls on you and all that. And everything, and you just sit there and enjoying out being outside. Because you haven't got a deer yet. Now after you get a deer, you got work to do. So I've been told. Lord knows I never got a deer except with the car and two with the truck. So that's the only ones I got. So we're looking at all these things here. So our experience, okay, we have an experience in the church. You have an experience in the church. How God moves and how you move in the church and stuff. You've got that 2x4. You can move around in the church. But there's more to it than that. Yeah. You got to get outside the 2x4. You got to be a little energetic. You got to be able to get moving. You got to have some initiative. You got to have some zeal to go. You got to give it to you if you really want to do something. You can laugh at me all you want to, I don't mind. I sit up there at Country Fair sometimes for 2, 3, maybe even 4 hours sometimes. And then I'm allowed to come home, she said. No, no, but seriously, I sit up there, I read my Bible, I read the Sunday school lesson, a book would give me more information on what I'm studying and stuff like that. And I just don't go by the books. I go by what the Bible says in the first place. I just don't go by books. That's wrong. I don't preach from books. I'm not preaching from the book. I just know an outline. Preach from the Bible. Coming from the Bible. But anyway. Then people come in church and say, oh, it's boring in church. Well, sometimes I have to cite the soul in my mirror and say, look how boring you are. You don't want to move. You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to sit there. Sometimes, for some people, it might be better that they just sit there. And maybe they will learn something. All right, now, in Matthew, I want to tell you this. Jesus says in verse 18 of the 20th chapter of Matthew, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority, all, everything from heaven down is given to me, is what Jesus is saying. All right? And we know we believe him from what he said. Amen?
Amen.
All right. All power is given, all authority. Verse 19. The first word says what?
Go.
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 Go. Go. I ain't telling you to go. Jesus left. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Jesus says what? Go ye therefore out there.
Yeah.
He's talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you? Nobody answered.
Amen.
If you're a disciple, you're going to go. You're going to go out. You're going to do your best to serve God no matter where you're at. Work, home, school, restaurants, wherever. You're going to do what you can to go. And all that says, go. Teach our nation. And all that. Teach, it says in verse 19. Make disciples or Christians of all nations. All right, now they had a lot smaller area than we have of known nations around them. We got a globe full of nations that we know of now. And it tells us to do what?
Yep.
Well, I'm thinking of a good place to go. I wanted to go to Peru. I want to go to Peru and work down there as a missionary and stuff like that. What the Bible tell you to do? If everything falls into place, God's going to go. Just go. Some people don't. Some people say, "Man, you got to have a Liberty Bell fall on your head before you make a decision like that." Some people just go. There's probably been more people that have gone to missionary fields and done wonderful works and seen people saved who were not even called to be what so-called missionary. You don't know why? Because God tells us we are all able ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all able when we're following God. But there's a catch. There's a catch to that. And that catch is, what does it say in the beginning? What did he tell Joshua?
Keep my commandments.
All right. To do everything according to all the law. All the law. All the scriptures. All the things I've told you. Okay? Don't change it. Don't look right to the left. Don't change it. Don't add nothing to the word or take it away from the word. And now you'll prosper whithersoever thou goest. You may prosper God's way. Some of the people down there in Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, some of them, I'm going to see pastors with happier people. They don't have much, but they've got God. They don't have much, but they've got God. And that's important. That's the most important thing. They've got God. In Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 15, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I have heard this, and maybe somebody can verify it for me. But I have heard there's been some people that have reached that and they actually will go out into the field where the cows are and preach to the cows. And I won't mock them for it either, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what they do. "He that believeth," that is a word, "and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." He that believeth. Now what does the word believeth mean? "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All right? So what's the key word in each one of those that I believe, is believe. When you pray for somebody, do you believe they're going to be healed? Or do you believe you want a miracle? I prayed for people and I've seen them get another day or so, they were healed, they were good, they were fine. Okay. I see one person pray for one person and that got a healing right there. Okay, that's a miracle. Mm-hmm. Now that, not because it's me in any way, shape, or form, but because you gotta believe what you ask for. You gotta believe what you believe. You gotta act like you believe it.
Amen.
Live like you believe it. Don't let anybody talk you out of what you believe in any way, shape, or form. Somebody can talk you out of it. Must not have been too rooted. We need to be rooted in the things of God and all that. And like I said, with Joshua, I'm not saying every place that you go, you can claim it for God, but I'm not saying that it's going to happen like it did for the Israelites. But what I am saying is you got to believe God for what you're doing. And all that, and you got to trust him for the outcome. Which, no, a lot of people don't want that. I'm not looking for power or anything else. But what I am looking for is for me to get deeper with God and to believe his word, to do it his way, at whatever time he wants. So what am I saying? You and me together, we can actually make an earthquake happen in Canaan if we do what God wants us to do, the way he wants us to
Amen.
Do, and believe that way. You'll stand with me. And all that, I want to ask you this. How many want to believe God for what they need? Let's think about the things we need right now instead of everything that we want. Now, if that's the case, if we are just talking about the things that we want, well, I want a four-wheeler, but I don't think I'm going to get it. But that don't mean God can't supply it. Put your eyeballs back, Kathy. Okay. This is what I want. The things I would want. But one of the biggest things I want right now, that is I want to follow God the way he wants me to follow him. Amen. I want to know more about this Bible and more about what he means in it than I have in the past. And I've been doing 43 years, I think, and all that. I want to know more. And you want to know something? There's always so much more to learn. I sit up there and I'll read something, and all of a sudden it'll tick something up here, you know? And I'll go ahead and I'll start. And I may be on that subject for about a half hour until I find out what I really want to know, what it means. And then I didn't get farther in my lesson. So what I'm trying to tell you is trust God. Let God lead you and guide you and all that. And just get up and do something for God. That's all you could do. That's the only thing I fight myself. I'm going to shut up. The pastor wants to come up. I'll close, but I'm going to tell you, I fight myself every morning getting out of bed. Keep thinking, why should I get out of bed? I ain't got nothing to do. But I do have things to do, but to get moving, I have to fight myself all that. Pastor knows my fight. And I have to fight. Get out. You get out. I'm going to be quiet with it, but I will tell you, there was one way years, many, many years ago, my cat, Kathy and I were first married. She used to help me get out of bed in the morning. You know what a pot full of cold water does to you? Amen.
Let's sing that little chorus.